Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Women Worldwide. Thank you for tuning in and for being here today. Today's episode is all about conversations. We have them every day, but are you having conversations with your brands, the companies that you're buying products from? Well, that's where my special guest comes in. I sat down with Brooke Sellis, who is an entrepreneur. She's the founder of B Squared Media, and she's also the author of a new book called Conversations That Connect. Brooke is a speaker. She has taught on the university level, and she shared with me how it's more about self-disclosure. It's not just cliches and facts. And when brands are out there on social media, it's connecting through values and feelings. I could go on and on about Brooke and all that she's doing, but I think it's time that she shares her journey and her advice with you. Hi, I'm Deirdre Breckenridge. I've spent an entire career helping women to share stories, nurture relationships, grow their brands, but most of all, to find their voices so they can make a difference. Do you feel stuck? Do you want to power up your own voice? Women Worldwide features the stories of passionate women who have navigated big career challenges and some of the toughest changes. These professionals offer deep insights and advice to inspire you and to help you uncover what's holding you back. Let Women Worldwide ignite your passion so you can excel in life. Brooke, welcome. Welcome to Women Worldwide.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here and talk with you today.
I'm excited too, and congratulations on your new book.
Thank you so much. I'm very excited and nervous, if I'm being honest.
Well, we are going to dive into your book, but I always like to start off just asking you, how did you get down the road to entrepreneur and to launch your company, B Squared Media?
Yeah, it's a really long story. So I'll try to put it together in like the very condensed Cliff Notes version, which is I was in nonprofit at the time and decided to use Facebook to help get young people involved with our foundation. We ended up using Facebook to recruit 7,500 people to a pub crawl. 7,500 people. And this happened in a 6-month span. And then we ended up making $60,000 for the charity. So that little seed about Facebook being more than just this like social thing was kind of planted in my head. And then fast forward a few years later, after testing some of the concepts I wanted to look at with Facebook and business, I started B Squared Media. So it was a very short jump from that little seed to creating a company that provides social media services.
Unbelievable. You really took a leap. When people think nonprofit, it might seem like a safer environment to entrepreneur. You think high risk, mover, shaker. That's amazing and very impressive what you did with those young people and all the money that you raised. I know that as I'm reading about you and seeing you out there, that you have a mantra. It's that it's to think conversations and not campaigns. So, Brooke, is this a gentle reminder? Because we all need a reminder every so often, all of us marketers. Or is this because the conversations just aren't there? So I guess why this mantra and so strong?
Yeah, well, I think it's both things that you mentioned. I think we often forget that at the end of the day, no matter what we're selling, from peanuts to planes, we're selling to humans. We're humans selling to other humans. And the way we form relationships, at least according to my undergraduate thesis work, which led to B Squared, it was on the social penetration theory, obviously named by psychologists and not marketers. But it says the way that we form relationships is through disclosures. I self-disclose information to you. If you like that, you self-disclose information to me. And we move deeper down to bigger, better opinions and feelings about ourselves, right? We start in cliches and facts, move to opinions and feelings. That's how we form relationships. Well, it's no different when we're talking about a business relationship to a consumer, because again, it's still people to people. So I really think sometimes we forget that we're humans. We make everything transactional. It's about getting that click or getting that sale or whatever it may be. And I think if we pull back and put human elements back into sales and marketing, we'll do a much better job.
I agree. I've often heard many businesses that I've worked with say, this is B2B. We need to make a decision. You don't get in trouble for this brand or working with this company. But at the end of the day, I mean, granted, when you're B2B, you're looking at certain features and benefits, whatever Certainly. You're purchasing. Yeah. But it does come down to who do you like? Who
Yes.
do you want around you? What's the most comfortable team? So this could be any industry.
It really is. And B2B, there was a survey, I wrote about this study in the book. I want to say, I don't know the exact number, but it's over 75% of B2B buyers, right? The people who are buying the B2B space want personalization. They want the emotional connection because, again, I think we have to go back to the psychology. We're just humans at the end of the day, right? We're not starved for more content. We're starved for connection. And yes, you can make connection happen through content, but a lot of the content that the brands are putting out live in that cliche and fact mm-hmm. disclosure. It's not building trust or gaining loyalty, right? We're not connecting on a human level. So that's kind of what I'm trying to push brands to in the book.
Do you think that starts at the top, Brooke? Do you think that's executives sitting around a boardroom table who are fearful of the conversations and the transparency and the human that you're supposed to bring forward, no matter what company or industry?
Yes, you nailed it. I think, and I say this throughout the book, I realize what I'm asking you to do is so scary. But if you look at the case studies I share within the book, both of our own clients and massive brands that we all know, like Nike and Patagonia, when they do create content, I should say, with those opinions and feelings disclosures and ask for opinions and feelings back, what they're really doing is aligning their core brand values with the values of their audience. And when my personal values match your brand values, I want to buy from you. Not only do I want to buy from you, I want to take it to the next stage and I want to be loyal to you. I could even take it to the next stage and become an advocate for you or part of your community. So the brands who are doing it right are killing it in the space, and the brands that are getting it wrong are floundering and they're asking why.
Exactly. Let's talk about your book. Because we've sort of been mentioning it. So your book is Conversations That Connect, which make a lot of sense. And what is it that the main takeaways that you want people to get out of it? And who should be reading it? Is it more for marketers and communications people? Or can leaders within a company be reading this book to say, oh, this is what my marketers should be doing?
That's a great question. Yeah. So it's geared probably more towards like the CMOs, chief marketing officers, brand leaders, product leaders. But I think truly anyone can read it. Part one's very, like, here's the theory, right? I talk about the social penetration theory and the idea behind or the psychology behind conversations. But then in part two, I get very tactical, right? I tell you exactly how to operationalize social-led customer care and social listening to get to conversations that connect, get you to converse, get people to convert. And then ultimately that North Star or that stretch goal is building a community for the brands who want to do that. So I get very tactical in part two. So that part is probably definitely more for the people who are going to be implementing these things. But part one, I feel like almost anyone can read because it's that reminder of like, hi, we're people. And this is how we do things psychologically
exactly.
or so, you know, based on sociology.
So do you think, I know this is getting more into the tactical part of it, but with the social listening, because if you're not listening, then you can't get to how people are feeling and ways that they want to interact and engage and how you're going to convert and build the loyalty and the advocacy. Are you finding brands are understanding the importance of the listening, and are they overwhelmed? Are they able to sort of get rid of all the noise? There's a lot of noise. There's so much data. And so do you help them navigate that?
Yes, definitely. I think a lot of brands do understand or utilize social listening, but I think very few of them, again, going back to like the psychology and the sociology and what you said, it coming from the top, very few brands are using that data in a really intelligent way. And the intelligent way is actually not anything crazy. It's not rocket surgery, as Chris Brogan often says. It's just connecting on that human level to gather data on the voice of the customer and then innovating based on the voice of the customer. So that sounds difficult, but it's really not. Because listen, when we go to social media, what do? We talk about ourselves, but we also involve our peers. And we share more than just where we live or how old we are, right? Or geographical information. We share our interests, our opinions, our feelings, right? That conversational information, our desires. We share our own personal values. So if you're mining that data in an intelligent way, what we call social intelligence, you can actually start to understand the voice of the customer and then innovate based on the voice of the customer.
And how do you instruct brands when you first start working with them and they say, we need to be on TikTok, we need to be on Snapchat, we're on Facebook, but we want to go to these newer places. Should we be on Clubhouse? What do you say to them?
Yeah, so I'm pretty stern about this actually in the book. So people may not like to hear this, but I say that a lot of marketers are sick with shiny object syndrome. The platform is not the point, right? Your follower count is not the point. The point is having more of these opinion and feeling type conversations with your core audience group to remove those who aren't aligned with your brand, right? Dissolution is a good thing. That's one of the things I talk about in the book. I want you to shed some people because not everybody is going to buy from you or be a part of your community. I want you to align more closely with the people who have your values and share your values because they will buy, buy more. And if you continually cultivate that relationship, they could become advocates or community members.
Values. I love that you're talking about values because sometimes you see within brands, they have plaques on the wall and values are written about in the handbook. And you're trying, values should be a part of the DNA of the company. And when it is, that's when everybody is communicating and demonstrating those values. Have you ever had situations where there are values, but yet you have members of the company out there speaking, not upholding the values? And then you're not having conversations that connect.
Yes. And this is, I think we're going to start to see this more and more. And we have seen this more and more. But in 2020, when a lot of the Black Lives Matter protests were taking place, many of our clients wanted to support that. And that's a beautiful thing. However, when their brand values didn't actually align with supporting social justice causes or whatever it may be, and they made the post, but they didn't have any sort of actionable programs or steps behind that, they caught backlash from their community because it felt like they were posturing, right? Mm-hmm. It felt like
jumping on a bandwagon.
Supported it, right. But they didn't actually have anything in place to show that they wanted to support Black Lives Matter or support DE&I, conversations or programs. So I think you have to be very careful. And this is why knowing your own brand values are so important, because everyone wants you to be everything, but you can't. You have to pick what your brand values are, stick with those, and then align with the people who will align and let the people who don't align, fall away.
Very good. Brooke, can you pinpoint a time in your career? Maybe just, did you ever have one of those moments? It's either an aha or an uh-oh that really led to a learning moment that's carried forward for you.
Yes. Early on, it was just me. I started my company in 2012. I sold my car and bought a computer and a screen and my favorite social media tool, Sprout Social, which I still use today.
Oh, yes, you know? Good tool.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm a pretty positive person, but I never made the plans for what would happen when person number two came on board, right? And it could only be me for so long. And for about 2 years, it was only me. So I think my aha moment and my biggest advice for other entrepreneurs, or really you don't even have to be an entrepreneur for this advice, is to document everything. Because I lost 2 years of what I feel like was time in iterations and making better processes because I didn't document them. And then when that second person did finally come on board 2 years later, I was like, oh man, I have to take 2 years worth of, you know, brain knowledge and somehow document that in a really quick and, you know, probably not as efficient way. So I think if you can document everything and start to understand what those processes are or those patterns are, and then make iterations over time, everything just becomes easier and more efficient, and you save on, you know, human capital and just mental capacity, really.
That is a really good moment. I'm sure there are people listening or watching right now saying, oh my goodness, document, document. Yes. And especially because as you grow and you get more employees and then you get different departments and divisions, if you don't have these practices on the ground floor, it is so hard.
So hard.
Implement later.
Yes. That's exactly it. Because when I was running obviously fast when that second person came on because it was time for another person, right? There was too much for me to do. But then that was terrible timing to try to like figure out what all of the like paint by numbers processes would be. So if I would have been a little more astute in those first 2 years, I think I would have had a much easier year three and four.
Exactly. This just popped into my mind, but why be squared? Why B squared media? Where does
that's
that
come a great
from?
Question.
It's probably because that's your background.
Yes. So previous to getting married, I was Brooke Ballard. Mm-hmm. And I started my company as Brooke Ballard before I got married. Mm-hmm. And several of my clients in a previous job called me B squared. It was just my nickname.
That's and really great.
When I started the company, it kind of happened by happenstance. My dad came to me and was like, I got you a pitch meeting with our marketing department. If you get it, that's it. I'm out. But I really hope if you get it, you start your company that you've always wanted to start. And amazingly, I got it that day. They were like, yes, we're interested the same day. And I was like, oh my gosh, I need a company, right? So I was like, B squared media. It just probably wasn't the best for branding, I've got to be honest, but it is what it is. And here we are.
Oh my God. Well, I love it. I think it's great. And it's authentic. It comes from the heart. Now, here you are. So you're an entrepreneur. Now you're an author. That's awesome. How did you, growing a company, it definitely takes a lot.
Yeah.
And in terms of networking and building your customers or even future employees, what are some of the ways that you were getting out there? Because in your book, it's all about conversations, right, that connect and social media. How are you building your company and connecting?
Yeah, I have to really, this isn't me being facetious, but social media has been so powerful for me personally and for B squared media. And it's not just because we're a social media led company. I think it's because, right, people are out there with the intent to connect and to converse, right? That's why we go use social. So it's a beautiful, easy, in my opinion, way to make connections and converse with people. I'm a voracious reader. I read probably like all of the major social sites and then some. I follow really smart people like you. And my network connects with me with people. You know, we met through someone who I met through another marketer. So like my network, it's like a self-propelling thing. My network keeps me meeting people, but I cultivate that network constantly. I'm making sure that I go and I like other people's content, or I comment on it, or I weigh in if they have a poll, right? It's not a one-way street. It's a two-way thing. So I'm constantly working my network, and therefore my network is constantly providing for me and B Squared Media.
That's awesome. What keeps you inspired every day?
Oh my gosh, so many things. I am really into women supporting women. Mm-hmm. So this is a great place to be today. But I really, truly make it a purposeful intent, right? Going back to intent, I have a big intent and I push myself to make sure that I give extra time and attention to women, and especially women of color. And I think that inspires me. Again, it kind of self-propels because I make that my intent, the love and, you know, inspiration that I get back kind of self-propels that whole
thing.
What
you give is what you get.
Yes.
It's the law of attraction.
Yes. What you put out, you get back times three. So I'm a giver. I'll say that for certain. I mean, that's who I am. I love being a giver. I'm not saying it's easy. That can actually be very hard in certain situations, but it does come back to you.
Well, you are a giver. It shows. I know that you're a part of Best Buddies. I think that is an amazing organization. You want to give a shout out?
Yes. Best Buddies is a wonderful organization. They are all about inclusivity. They work with individuals who have IDD. So that's developmental issues, you know, kind of like Down syndrome or autism. And essentially we help them throughout their entire journey. So throughout school, high school, college, and then even after college, we help them intern and receive employment, gainful employment through companies we partner with. And then we're working on helping them even after that. We're trying to create communities where individuals with IDD can live in a safe, sustained community, you know, and live out close to normal lives, which I think is what we would all hope for anyone.
Yes. Is this a newer part of the mission, the after college?
Yes.
That's unbelievable.
It's something we're currently working on now. So I think as time goes forward, I'll have more to say about it. But right now we're looking at community spots. We're looking at people who want to be involved in that community. But yeah, it's just inclusivity, I guess. If you were talking about DE and I, the I is kind of where Best Buddies sits, right? Is we want to make sure no one feels left out, especially because of, you know, attributes that they're born with. They can't help, right?
Well, you're doing some great work. And what about stress? So here you are, you wrote a book, you have your company, you're working with Best Buddies in a chair capacity. How do you manage it all? Ever feel stressed, Brooke?
Oh, yeah. Never. Why?
Never, ever.
I feel stressed every day, but I try to, you know, I went to therapy for like 20 years. So I'm a huge proponent of therapy. They give you, for me, it was about giving me coping skills for stress,
yes.
Right?
Sure.
It's asking myself when I'm feeling particularly stressed, like, well, why am I having anxiety today? Well, what can I, you know, attribute it to? Oh, okay. If it's this thing, is this really going to be important tomorrow or next week or a year from now? And then trying to kind of bring myself down. And I'm a horseback rider. And I have to say that is my therapy. It's my exercise and my therapy. So being with horses gives me, it's just my happy place. It gives me stress relief.
Oh, gosh. Brooke, I knew I liked you. I rode horses for years. There was a barn in my town, and I would go down, ride horses every day. I would go to shows. It was just so therapeutic.
Yes.
Riding. Amazing.
Yeah. It's just something about even just grooming my horse gives me so much joy. Right? I think it's like the animals and serotonin. I know there are studies out there on all of that, but it truly
yes,
is my
happy
place. But I think the message is that it doesn't have to be horses. Whatever you enjoy doing, you have to find a way. I literally block out my writing times in my calendar. And those are sacred. And so I think whatever you do, whether it's read or go for walks or
meditate,
knit, yeah, block it off and guard it with your life. Don't allow yourself to let outside factors take away from you, because you can't fill someone else's cup if yours is empty.
Exactly. And then you can't have those conversations that connect.
Exactly.
To tie it all up with a little bow.
So true. It's so true.
Well, I can hardly believe I'm going to ask you for parting advice. You've shared a lot of advice throughout the whole show. What do you want to share with women worldwide, listeners and viewers, about conversations that connect and those conversations that really matter?
Yeah, I think when it comes to conversations that connect, you know, if we're thinking about, again, cliches, facts, opinions, feelings, a lot of us sit in breath, right? If you think of the social penetration theory like an onion, you peel back the layers to get to those opinions and feelings. A lot of us stay surface, the outer part of that onion. We don't start peeling back. My advice is to start figuring out how you can peel back and go beyond the breadth of the onion to the depth of the onion and get to that core. And, you know, it seems scary, but you can do it in non-risky ways, right? And just be true to yourself. Stay in your lane. Talk about your values. And I think that'll be a lot easier to go into depth.
I do too. So peel the onion, stay in your lane, get to the core. I love it. Great advice. Where can people find out more about you, B Squared Media, and your new book?
You can find me and B Squared Media at bsquared.media. So it's a .com. There's information on the book there. There's all of our social channels, or you can just search for me on Google, Brooke Celis. I think I'm the only Brooke Celis out there so far. So I think if you pop Brooke Celis into Google, you'll find me and you'll find B Squared Media.
Terrific. And I know you're on LinkedIn. So yes. Everybody should connect with Brooke on LinkedIn. Thank you so much for sharing your journey. Excellent advice. Really excited about your book. Hope everybody picks up the copy and reads it. And just, it was lovely to chat with you.
Thank you so much again for having me. And yeah, definitely reach out. Obviously, I'm open to the conversation.
Awesome. Thank you, Brooke. And a big thank you to all of you for tuning into Women Worldwide. You know what I always say, keep the conversation going and the feedback coming. You know where to find me. Like Brooke, I am on LinkedIn. I'm also on Twitter. I'm at Dee Breckenridge. And I look forward to hearing from you. Okay, friends, until our next episode, stay focused, energized, and feeling empowered. Thank you.